Hallelujah. God is about to release great things into your life through the undiluted word you're about to listen to. Pay attention, as this sermon will grant you deeper understanding of God's word. And now, here is the undiluted word.
Our course for this school is it pays to serve God. And this must sink in every man's heart, that we don't serve God because he's one being that exists somewhere there. Of course, if you get across all the religions of the earth, every religion has certain kinds of reward system attached to their worship. So God is the same. Hebrews 11 verse 6 clears it all. He that cometh to God must believe that God is, and that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. For without faith, it's impossible to please God. So you don't only have a mental knowledge of the existence of God, you must also have a consciousness that there is a reward that comes from serving the Lord. So that you don't come to serve God with no expectation. God gives reward. God gives blessings. God gives certain things for services rendered on the earth. And I must emphasize here that what God gives will always be bigger than the services will render. Praise the Lord. It pays to serve the Lord. The first payment for serving God is prosperity. Yeah. There are some believers that don't believe in prosperity. Thank God for them. They are going to be righteous and holy on the earth. Likely they are going to be poor, very needy, and they will still go to heaven. But there are those who believe in prosperity. And of course, prosperity is not a carnal subject. Prosperity is a kingdom tool for dominating the earth and working the works of God. The Bible says, through prosperity shall my kingdom be spread abroad. And the scripture says God delighteth in the prosperity of his people. So God gets excited when his people prosper. But they must prosper in God's way. They must prosper according to God's laid down principle. There is a prosperity God gives, and there is a prosperity we can garner for ourselves. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 1, blessed is he who do not walk in the way of the sinner, or sit in the seat of the sinner, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in this law he meditates day and night. And the Bible says in verse 3, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. This is God's kind of prosperity. He bringeth forth his fruit in his season. So that means that there are some things that can bring forth fruit when it is not their season. So when you see certain fruit off season, you begin to wonder, why are we seeing this kind of fruit? This is not their season. But the Bible says, for the man who is planted by God, he brings forth his fruit in his season. There is no jumping the gun. There is no breaking the ranks. Everything is done according to principle. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Praise the Lord. In Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, God was admonishing Joshua. And in verse 8, he said to Joshua, this word of the Lord shall not depart from your mouth, but in it thou shalt meditate day and night, and then observe to do everything that is written in it. So after meditation is the carefulness to do the things that are written in it. And then God said, there and then you shall have good success, and whatsoever you do shall prosper. So I can say that the God success is the good success. Praise God. I say that again, that the God success is the good success. So when you have the God success, it means that you have a good success. You can actually have successes that has no root in God, successes that cannot be traceable to God. But God is saying, for you to have a good success and you are prosperous in your ways, then you are going to follow the guideline of the scripture. So I mentioned to us that one of the pay that you are bound to get, you are supposed to get, you are supposed to enjoy as a kingdom benefit is prosperity. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 to verse 33. The emphasis is in verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. To seek means to put a diligent, deliberate effort to get something. Holiness is not just a spiritual donation. It is a deliberate, conscious effort to keep in tune with God. I say that again. Holiness, to live right according to the dictate of God, is not a divine donation, but it is a conscious, deliberate effort to align yourself to the will of God. We want to walk like God. We want to be like God. We want to be in same frequency with God. So that's why Jesus said, seek it first. Make it a priority. Let kingdom reason be the reason behind your action. I said, and all other things, or all these things, shall be added unto you. From verse 25, will give us a little explanation of what these things could comprise of. It talked about we not being thoughtful of what to wear, what to drink, what life is all about physically. He said, do not take thought for your life, for what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, or what you shall put on your body. The basic necessity of life, the reason why people work themselves out, the reason why people work overtime, the reason why a wife could be in Canada and a husband is in Lagos and both of them pursuing money, is because of what to drink, what to wear, what to put on, where to live. That's basically the reason why we work and labor. And God is saying, do not take thought for these things. In other words, God is providing a shorter way to arriving at this point. He said, don't dwell on them. Let them not be your driving force. Let them not be your motivation on the earth. But let the kingdom of God. Why should the kingdom of God be a motivation for us? Because every one of God's child is an ambassador representing the interest of God here on the earth. You will have a house to live in. You will have a car to drive. You have what to wear by seeking the Lord first. Seeking God first became a secret, became a password for those who lived before us and those who are still living with us to prosperity. For instance, seeking God first was the key to King Uzziah's prosperity in the Bible. King Uzziah came to the throne when he was only 16 years old. The Bible says he reigned prosperously for 52 years. Consistent prosperity. For 52 years he reigned. He was like a president for 52 years. Uzziah started reigning as a king when he was 16 years. And he was so prosperous. He was one of the most outstanding kings because of the things he achieved. He's one of the few kings who lived very long and prospered so much. He invented weapons. He strengthened himself and was able to build even in the desert. Let's look at it in 2 Chronicles chapter 26 verse 3 to 5. We just mentioned a few examples of those who lived before us, and seeking the kingdom of God first became their password into prosperity that was undying. 2 Chronicles chapter 26 verse 3 to 5. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jecoliah of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father did. Verse 5. What did he do? And he sought God in the days of Zechariah. Praise God. Now, this is the right thing that he did. He sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. I think this is good. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. So as long as he's looking for God, as long as he's wanting God, he made him prosper. One of the cardinal teachings of Jesus is recorded in Matthew chapter 5 that is commonly called the Beatitude. And Jesus said in that teaching, that was one of the longest, in fact, the longest sermon Jesus ever preached while he was on earth. He said, blessed are those who do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. No, the Bible didn't specify what they will be filled with. Praise God. But when you study the nature of God and the nature of kingdom, you understand what they will be filled with. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Another word for filled here is satisfied. They will be comfortable. And so as long as Uzziah sought the Lord, the Bible said the Lord made him prosper. I like you to believe that God can make you prosper. Some people don't believe that. Some people believe that God can only give you healing. God can only give you deliverance. And all of those things, those spiritual battles, I mean, those are the things we can bring God in. But if you are going to prosper, man, you just need to be wise. You need to be smart. But the Bible is the best book you can refer to as far as the standard of truth is concerned. Praise God. He said, as long as Uzziah sought the Lord, I like this, God made him prosper. So this tells us that the key to prosperity is actually seeking the Lord. Seeking the Lord does not mean you come to church every day and fold your hands and your legs and sit down from morning till night. I've seen people make such errors or make such mistakes. They say, well, things are not working for you because God wants you to serve him. So what do? You go and join a prayer band. Hopelessly, endlessly. Praise God. And you just sit down there and you are praying every day. The more you pray, the more hunger comes, you know. Amen. A praying man will need to eat someday. Will need to pay bills. So you just need to go out there and allow God to prosper you. Your interest should be in kingdom. Your interest should be God first. That's what God is talking about. Praise the Lord. Now, the following things were common for King Uzziah as he sought the Lord. Number one, as long as he sought the Lord, he prospered. Number two, as long as he sought the Lord, God gave gift to him. Look at verse 8 of 2 Chronicles chapter 26. And the Ammonite gave gift to Uzziah. Now, I'd like you to know this. Do you believe that God can actually steer the heart of people to give you gifts? Oh, you've got to believe it. And I've said this before. Let me repeat it, that if everything you are going to have on the earth will be as a result of your effort and your ability alone, you will not get too much. But you need to get to that point where God himself is asking people to give. So you are just on your own and somebody comes around and say, I think God wants me to give you this. I think God wants me to give you this job. I think God wants me to give you promotion. I think God wants me to assist you. In the book of Exodus chapter 3, the Bible said, because the Egyptian nurses feared God and they did not do according to the bidding of Pharaoh, the Bible said, God built them houses. Wow. So God is a builder. And then somebody may just be imagining, did God come down from heaven to build houses for them? Of course, you understand in the book of Hebrews that the Bible says that a house is built by a man, but God is the builder of all things. Praise God. So if a man can only build a house and God is the builder of all things, that means God builds a man and also builds a house that a man builds. And there are people that God has steered to give gifts. Cyrus, for instance, wasn't a Christian. But the Bible said God steered his heart. And he was the one that single-handedly sponsored the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem. He didn't just sponsor it. He also sent security personnel to ensure that everything is done. Number next, because Uzziah sought the Lord, his name spread abroad. In that verse 8, the Bible says, and the Ammonite gave gift to Uzziah, and his name spread abroad, even to the entering in of Egypt, for he strengthened himself exceedingly. His name spread abroad. I'd like you to know that for the cause of easy popularity, a lot of the sons and the daughters of Zion have gone into the slaughterhouse of Satan. You can't make yourself. God can make you. Don't seek to be too known when it is not time. In Luke chapter 4, the Bible says, "And Jesus returned in the power of the Holy Ghost, and his fame spread abroad." You see, God can make you known. In Matthew chapter 3, Jesus entered the river to be baptized by John, and he was baptized. The Bible said the heavens were open, and a voice came down and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Full stop. And there and then, Jesus was led of the Holy Spirit to be tempted by Satan in the wilderness. And when he overcame the devil, the Bible said angels came and ministered to him. After a long time in his ministry on the earth, in Mark chapter 9 or thereabout, Jesus took three of his disciples, Peter, James, and John precisely, and went up the mountain of transfiguration. And there, the Bible says, Elijah and Abraham paid him a visit. And his countenance was altered. The raiment he was wearing became as white, something whiter than snow. And Peter, in his heavy eyes, when he opened his eyes and saw it, he couldn't behold it. When that conversation was over, the Bible says, the heaven opened and a voice came down and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." You see, when it is God commanding people to hear you, your grammar is not relevant. People will hear you. Praise God. When God commands people to hear you, it doesn't matter whether you hold a degree or not. People will come from far and near, and they will sit under you and listen to you, no matter what your practice is. Because there is a force that is making them to do it. So God can actually make you known, but you need to seek him. Rather than seeking to be known, wanting to be known. That's the reason why a lot of genuine men of God who started the work of God genuinely have become fake over time. Because a lot of us have given in to the pressure of just doing the way your congregation would like you to do. Just prophesy something. Praise God. Just do something that will impress people. So that everywhere you go, they say, this is the pastor we want. This is the pastor we want. Can I say to you that if men make you popular, it will also take a man to finish you. But if God raises a man up, no man can bring that man down. Praise the Lord. He strengthened himself. That was another blessing of seeking the Lord. He strengthened himself. To strengthen himself, he became established. Yeah. It is one thing to rise to a particular level and another thing to maintain that level. But because this man sought the Lord, he was after the heart of God. Of course, we know what David did. Psalm chapter 42, as the deer pants after the water brook, so my soul pants after you. David was another man that just, he loved the Lord and he could do anything for God. We will get there. So this man strengthened himself. Another blessing he had, the Bible says, he built towers, verse 9 to verse 10 of 2 Chronicles 26. So God can also help you to build. Seeking the interest of the kingdom of God can help you to be a successful builder. Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate and at the valley gate and at the turning of the wall and fortified them. Praise the Lord. Look at verse 11 to verse 13. Another blessing of seeking the Lord. He had a host of fighting men. Verse 11. Moreover, Uzziah had a host of fighting men that went out to war by bands, according to the number of the account by the hand of Jehiel, the scribe, and Messiah, the ruler, under the hand of Ananiah, one of the king's captain. He had a host of fighting men. And I like verse 15. Another thing he had. Verse 15. And he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones, and his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. I like this. Marvelously helped. I mean, the kind of help that is not explainable. When they say something is marvelous, it's simply out of this world. He was marvelously helped. And I'm sure that you need that kind of help. I mean, a marvelous help. Can you imagine you are looking for how you can pay your rent of maybe 60,000 a year, and all of a sudden somebody shows up and give you a house free of charge, a story building, a 5-bedroom duplex, and say, "This house is your own." That's a marvelous help, you know. Praise God. Now you look at your transport distance from where you were, struggling to pay for just one room apartment, to owning a 5-bedroom duplex. You are just the owner. You know you are the owner. Praise God. You can sleep up today and decide to sleep down tomorrow. You can sleep in the veranda the next day and decide to sleep in the backyard the next day. Nobody comes around. Marvelously help. Praise God. Until he was strong. I pray for someone here that you begin to enjoy that kind of help. Until you are strong. Now listen, you know, some people are helped, but they are not helped until they are strong. They are just helped for a brief moment. But the Bible says he was marvelously helped till he was strong. In other words, he was strong to help others. That is what seeking the Lord will do for you. Another person that practiced the principle of seeking the Lord and got the blessings that comes with it is David. Psalms 34 verse 8 to 10. Psalms 34 verse 8 to 10. David, he practiced the principle of seeking the Lord first. Oh, test and see that the Lord is good. Blesses the man that trusted in him. Oh, fear the Lord, hear his sense, for there is no want to them that fear him. 10. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. How many of you believe the scriptures? I believe the scriptures. Praise God. Shall not want any good thing. What that means is that God makes provision for the good thing you are going to be wanting in the future. Amen. He knows that you are going to be needing a shoe 2 months' time. 2 months before, you get a shoe. And sometimes you are wondering, this man should have given me a shirt, not a shoe. Only for you to realize 2 months after, the needful of that shoe. And you say, wow, thank God I got the shoe at this time. How many of you have received that kind of miracle? You had something that you didn't want at that present time, only for you to realize 3 months after, a year after, that thing was actually necessary. And then you begin to say, thank God for this thing. It actually came on time. This is what it means. When people seek God, the Bible says they shall not be in want of something good. So are you in want of something good? Maybe you need to check your search engine of seeking God. Maybe you are not seeking God the way God wants you to seek him. Praise God. Are you still together? Praise God. Your wages for seeking the Lord and doing his work knows no limit. Truly, prosperity is one of the greatest mysteries of our world today. No one really knows what makes one person prosper and the other turn into nothing. Seeking God first will never be in vain. Now we can look at that pictorially. Now from the book of Genesis chapter 4, the scripture talks about Cain and Abel. They had not been taught, but they decided to offer something to God. And the Bible says Abel took of the firstling. The firstling. Now there's a sense of holy reverence. There is a sense of honor to the man he's going to give. The firstling. He's bringing it to offer to the Lord. Abel brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and unto his offering. Seeking God. The first things for an average Jew is very important. A Jewish man, first child, first thing, first money is very important. But when you give it over to God, it shows your total dependence and reliance on God. And so when God sees that kind of a heart, he says no. You see, like David, one day the Bible said, David said, oh, I thirst for the waters of Bethlehem. He said, I feel like drinking that water. I don't know, maybe in their days, waters tested differently. So there's a particular kind of water that you like to drink. And he said, how I thirst for the waters of Bethlehem. And as at that time, the Bible said, that particular spring was the garrison of the Jews. When they say it's a garrison, it means a place where soldiers surround. It was a garrison of the Philistines. And 3 men opted. They said, David, if you need it, then we will give it to you. Praise God. So they went into the midst of those Philistines and hazarded their lives. They killed those men and got a bottle of water and came back with it to David. And David, who was thirsty for that water, looked at the water and saw the cost, the price that the people paid to get him the water. And David said, this water will be too costly for me to drink. And he poured it as a libation to the Lord. Praise God. All the water that men hazarded their life to bring, rather than David drinking it, he poured it to the Lord. He said, let me give it to God. And he emptied the whole bottle unto God. I'm sure that the people who went there to almost kill themselves will be wondering, what is this man doing? But that was a man who understood love for God. Little wonder the Bible says, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man who is after my heart. He seeks for what interests me first. Let me ask, if you have 10,000 and you need that 10,000 so desperately, and God also needs the 10,000, who will you give it to? Yourself or to God? I bet you, maybe more than 50% of us will give it to ourselves, and then we explain later to God. Praise God. Okay, say God understands. He has everything after all. What is he going to do with my money? I mean, let me just get this thing. But God is looking, can you give it to me? God said to Abraham, send away Ishmael. Ishmael was his first biological son. No, not from Sarah. God said to him, send him away. By this time, Ishmael was a grown boy. And Abraham sent Ishmael away with the mother, and didn't know the direction at which they went. And the next chapter, in chapter 22, God came to Abraham. Now that Abraham is alone with Isaac, God said to Abraham, now, take your son, your only son, the one that you love, bring him to the mountain I'm going to show you, and there sacrifice him. What a wicked conversation. If you knew you were going to demand for Isaac, why did you ask me to send Ishmael away? If you knew you are going to ask for Isaac, you would have just allowed me to keep Ishmael, so that if I kill Isaac, I still know that there is an Ishmael. I still have a son. But God wants to render me, sonless and childless overnight. But do you see Abraham? Rather than discuss that issue with the wife, whom he knew would be so emotionally attached to the boy, very early in the morning, he carried the boy, carried some servant alongside with him, saddled the ass. They are on their way. What will Sarah think when she knows? I don't care. Let me just obey God first. Praise God. You see, everyone that puts the interest of God first will never regret it. The scriptures cannot be broken. God is not a liar. You see, if you are waiting to calculate God out, you will blow your mind. You can't calculate his ways. The Bible says, as the heavens are higher than earth, so are the ways of God different from the ways of men. So the difference between your thinking and the thinking of God is like the distance between the heaven and the earth. And it's a long distance, you know. Praise God. How many of you are understanding what I'm saying? So we need to put God first in what we do. You must not be stupid about it. You don't have to be foolish about it. You have to be led. Because as many as are led by the Spirit of the Lord, they are the sons of God. I'm not talking about just sowing crazy seeds to everywhere you go, because there are grounds that don't grow seeds. Praise God. Hello? So there are grounds that don't grow seed. No matter the quality of your seed, if you put it in a certain ground, it won't go. Go and bring rice and plant it here. You wait for it, and if that is your only hope of eating rice, you'll never eat rice again until you die. Praise God. So I'm not talking about crazy spreading of seeds. I'm talking about spirit-led sowing. Truly, prosperity is one of the greatest mysteries of our world today. No one really knows what makes one person prosper and the other person turns into nothing. Seeking God first will never be in vain. It is a master key for greatness in life. Let's read Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 19. Then we look at number 2P. Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 19. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Praise God. God is saying, I didn't ask people to seek me in vain. He said, when you seek me, there is a blessing. When you seek me, there is a reward. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. I quoted that. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and there is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Somewhere in the book of Psalm, David said, I was young, now I am old. I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed beg bread. And you think that's a lie? No, it's not a lie. Praise the Lord. All right, what is the second pay that you can have? for serving God. The second pay is that you will receive good wages. Everyone that have done economics, commerce, will be familiar with the word wages. And one of the pay for seeking God or for serving God is that you receive good wages. Does God pay wages? You will know. John chapter 4 verse 36. This is the second pay for serving the Lord. John chapter 4 verse 36. And he that reaped receiveth what? Wages. And gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reaped may rejoice together. Good wages is the second pay for serving the Lord. What is a wage? A wage is something that comes to you because of the work or service you have done. When they say, I've been paid wages, it is something or money that is given to you because of the work you have done. Wages can be given to you on a daily basis. Yeah. Most times, wages are paid on daily basis. Salaries are paid on monthly basis. Praise God. So wages can be given to you on daily basis. Since God gives wages, you can expect blessings of wages on a daily, weekly, monthly, and yearly basis. Which one do you like the more? Daily pay or monthly pay? Which one do you like the more? Daily pay. May God give you daily pay. You know, the Bible says, He dearly loaded us with His benefit. He dearly loaded us. Daily pay. Of course, whatever is paid to you on monthly basis is calculated on daily basis through all of us. Praise God. It's calculated on daily basis. That's why some companies that are very crafty and very bad, if you don't go to work for 2 days, you'll be shocked at what you'll be paid, that they will deduct something. And you wonder, how did they do the calculation? Ask the accountant. He knows. Praise God. What you are worth on a daily basis. So God pays on a daily basis. So that means we need to seek God. We need to serve God every day so that He can be paying you. So when you take a leave, leave of absence, casual leave, sick leave, no visitation leave. I had a burial, they didn't visit me. So you have taken a leave from church for 2 months. Understand that your daily pay is also being affected. Praise God. Because a lot of us, we take leave, sick leave. Praise God. Just be sick for, your leg. You just woke up and your leg was somehow throughout that week. That leg cannot bring you to church, but it can take you to your office. Hello? Am I talking to us now? That same leg that cannot bring you to church, very early in the morning, that leg, somehow, somehow. He said, but did you go to work? I manage and go, sir, why didn't you manage to come to church? God understands. Praise God. But do you know that that place you are managing that leg to go to, if you die on the road, the best they can give to you is one newspaper column. Sometimes half, colorless. Or if you were a manager, they just give you one full page and pay 100 and something. In fact, the day you die, the next day they have put your vacancy, they declared your vacancy in the newspaper. And while they are still contemplating how much they will pay in the mortuary, people are applying to take your job. But when we serve God, even when we are no more on the earth, He carries our blessing over to our children and places them at their feet. That's why the Bible said the faithfulness of God endures from generation to generation. I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Praise the Lord. Don't you feel it is better to serve God than serve men? So let me put the best of my years, the best of my effort, to the service of God, because it's one master that does not forget the pay of those who have served. But other masters on the earth, they pay you according to the profit they make. Some they even pay you with cost. But Jesus, no, He doesn't forget. So you receive wages. You can expect blessing of wages on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, on a yearly basis, on a monthly basis. Wages can be called incomes. They can be called earnings. They can be called returns. They can be called salaries. They can be called compensations. They can be called payments. They can be called payoffs. I'm going to explain all of this in economic terms. They can be called remuneration. They can be called emoluments. They can be called reimbursements. They can be called allowances. They can be called fees. They can be called honorarium. They can be called awards. They can be called advance, rewards, benefit, stipends, remittances, and pensions. These different words reveal the different kinds of wages you can expect to receive for serving God. Praise God. So you can receive remittances. You can receive pensions. So the service of God is pensionable. You know, there's some job you have today and you ask, is it pensionable? If a job is pensionable, it's a good job, you know. Praise God. Because it guarantees a future for you. Amen. And I'd like to introduce you to a vacancy that has a good pension. And that vacancy is in the kingdom. Praise God. Just get yourself engaged and you can be sure that you have pay for life. Pay for life. You don't believe it? I believe it. Praise God. Pay for life. Some of the pay I'm receiving, I've not yet worked. I'm receiving the pay that my father worked. What a joy. Praise God. The pay that he worked. Because sometimes I look at the things that I see, the things I have received, and I said, there is no way it could have been the things I have done. It's simply something that somebody have labored for, and I'm only opportune to begin to reap the fruit. Praise God. May your children reap the fruit of your labor. Yeah. And so it is also in my mind to work so much so that after I am no more on earth, somebody will come and will not have to struggle and will just sit in one corner and just be receiving. He does a little and then he's receiving. There's some kinds of prayer I can't pray now because somebody prayed it over time. There's some kinds of trouble I can't have. No matter how many witches come, there are certain troubles I can't have now because two persons or one person cannot suffer for the same crime twice. Praise God. Even in the natural law court, you don't punish one person two times for the same crime. Amen. So, if somebody have received the punishment on your behalf, the punishment has already been taken. We are told medically that if you suffer chicken pox when you were growing up, you won't suffer it when you are adult. People suffer chicken pox once. If you have suffered it twice, you need deliverance. Praise God. It is no longer natural. It is spiritual. But every man will suffer chicken pox once. And you know the best time to suffer it when you are small, not now when you are an adult. Praise the Lord.
Beloved, thank you for taking time to listen to God's word. We trust you've been blessed. This message was brought to you by Pentecostal Deliverance Church, located at 65 Stadium Road, opposite Mummy B Junction, Rumomasi, Port Harcourt. You can get our Sincere Milk Devotional and Believer's Training Class Manual and other inspiring and life-transforming audio messages from our church book stand located in the church premises or through our website www.pdconline247.com. Furthermore, our church activity schedule is as follows: Monday and Thursday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. counseling, Wednesday, 6 p.m. School of Wisdom, Friday, 6 p.m. prayer meeting, Sunday, 8 a.m. lifting service. If you would like to reach us via call, our helplines are 080-3389-0315 and 080-6935-5639. God bless you.